Christ. Yamagata did not catch his wry attempt at humor. Standing beside the captain on Himawari's bridge, Yamagata unsmilingly watched the display screen that showed the two ships that had taken up orbits around Mercury almost simultaneously. One was the freighter Urania, little more than a globular crew module and a set of nuclear ion propulsion units, with dozens of massive rectangular cargo containers clipped to its long spine. Urania carried equipment that would be useless if the scientists actually closed Mercury to further industrial operations. It also brought Molina's wife to him, a matrimonial event to which Yamagata was utterly indifferent. The other vessel was a fusion torch ship, Brudnoi, which had blasted out from Earth on a half-G burn that brought its complement of ICU scientists and IAA bureaucrats to Mercury in a scant 3 days. Yamagata wished it would keep on accelerating and dive straight into the sun. Instead, it braked expertly and took up an orbit matching Himawari's. Yamagata could actually see through the bridge's main port the dumbbell-shaped vessel rotating slowly against the star-strewn blackness of space. Urania is requesting a shuttle to bring Mrs. Molina over to us, Captain Shibasaki said, his voice low and deferential. They are also wondering when they will be allowed to offload their cargo containers. Yamagata clasped his hands behind his back and muttered, They might as well leave the containers in orbit. No sense bringing them down to the surface until we find out what the scientists are going to do to us. And Mrs. Molina? Send a shuttle for her. I suppose Molina will be glad to see his wife. Hesitantly, the captain added, Two of the scientists from Brudnoi are asking permission to come aboard and meet you as well. More mouths to feed, Yamagata grumbled. Plus two ministers from the New Morality, assistants to Bishop Danvers. Yamagata glowered at the captain. Why didn't they send the Mormon Tabernacle Choir while they were at it? It took every ounce of Shibasaki's willpower to keep from laughing. Molina had rushed up to Himawari immediately after he had finished his preliminary examination of the rocks down at Mercury Base. Once aboard the orbiting ship, he shut himself into the sterile laboratory facility that Yamagata had graciously allowed him to bring along and spent weeks on end studying his precious rocks. The more he examined them, the more excited he became. Not only pars and carbonates and sulfides. Once he started looking at his samples in the scanning, tunneling microscope, he saw tiny structures that looked like fossils of once-living nanobacteria, ridged conical shapes and spiny spheroids. Life. Perhaps long extinct, but living organisms once existed on Mercury. Perhaps they still do. He stopped his work only long enough to gulp a scant meal now and then, or to fire off a new set of data to the Astrobiology Journal. He stayed off the cognitive enhancers. Not that the pills were habit-forming or had serious side effects. He simply had run through almost his entire supply and decided to save the last few for an emergency. He slept when he could no longer stay awake, staggering to his quarters and collapsing on his bunk, then going back to his laboratory once his eyes popped open again and he showered and pulled on a clean set of coveralls. It was only the announcement that his wife would be arriving aboard Himawari within the hour that pulled him away from his work. For weeks he had ignored all incoming messages except those from the International Consortium of Universities. He accepted their praise and answered their questions. Personal messages from his wife he had no time for. Dumbfounded with surprise, it took him several moments to register what the communications technician was telling him. Lara? Here? He asked the technician's image on his compartment's wall screen. Once he was certain he had heard correctly, Molina finally, almost reluctantly, began to strip off his sweaty clothes and headed for the shower. What's Lara doing here? He asked himself as the steamy water enveloped him. Why did she come? What's wrong? To Molina's surprise, Yamagata himself was already waiting at the airlock when he got there, scant moments before his wife arrived. I should be very angry at you, Yamagata said, with a smile to show that he wasn't. Angry? Molina was truly surprised. Because there's life on Mercury? Because your discovery may ruin my project. Molina smiled back, a trifle smugly. I'm afraid that momentous scientific discoveries take precedence over industrial profits. That's a well-established principle of the International Astronautical Authority. Yes, Yamagata replied thinly. So it seems. The speaker, set into the metal overhead, announced that the shuttlecraft had successfully mated to Himawari's airlock. Again, Molina wondered worriedly why Lara had come. He saw the indicator lights on the panel set into the bulkhead beside the hatch turn slowly from red to amber, then finally to green. The hatch clicked, then swung inward toward them. One of the shuttle's crew, a Valkyrie-sized woman in gunmetal gray coveralls, pushed the hatch all the way open, and Lara Molina stepped daintily over the combing, then, with a smile of recognition, rushed into her husband's waiting arms. He held her tightly and whispered into her ear, "You're all right? Everything is okay back home?" "I'm fine, and so is Victor Jr.," she said, beaming happily. "Then why didn't you tell me you were coming? What made you..." She placed a silencing finger on his lips. "Later," she said, glancing toward Yamagata. Molina understood. She wanted to speak to him in private. Yamagata misunderstood her glance. "Come," he urged. "Dinner is waiting for us. You must be famished after having nothing but the freighter's food." She's not truly beautiful, Yamagata thought as he sat at the head of the dinner table, but she is certainly lovely. He had seated Mrs. Molina at his right, her husband on his left. Next to them, Bishop Danvers and Alexios sat opposite one another, and the two co-chairmen of the ICU's scientific investigation team sat next to them. Captain Shibasaki was at the end of the table. Yamagata saw that Lara Molina was slim as a colt. No, the picture that came to his mind was of a racing yacht, trim and sleek, and pleasing to the eye. Her features were nothing extraordinary, but her amber-colored eyes were animated when she spoke. When she was silent, she kept her gaze on her husband, except for occasional glances in Alexios's direction. Alexios stared unabashedly at her, as if she were the first woman he'd seen in ages. Molina was in his glory, with his wife hanging on his every word and two of the leading astrobiologists of Earth paying attention to him as well. His obvious misgivings about his wife's unexpected arrival seemed far behind him now. "Chance favors the prepared mind, of course," he was saying, wine glass in hand. "No one expected to find any trace of biological activity on Mercury, but I came out here anyway. Everybody said I was being foolish. Even my lovely wife told me I was throwing away months that could be better spent back at Jupiter." His wife lowered her eyes and smiled demurely. "What brought you to Mercury, then?" Alexios asked. He had not touched his wine, Yamagata noted. "A hunch. Call it an intuition. Call it a belief that life is much tougher and more ubiquitous than even our most prestigious biologists can understand." The elder of the ICU investigators, Ian McFerguson, russet-bearded and heavy-browed, rumbled in a thick Scottish accent. "When a distinguished but elderly scientist says something is possible, he is almost always right. When he says something is impossible, he is almost always wrong." Everyone around the table laughed politely, Molina loudest of all. "Clark's Law," said the younger ICU scientist. "Indeed," Yamagata agreed. "But surely you must have had more than a hunch to bring you all the way out here," Alexios prodded, grinning crookedly. Yamagata saw that Mrs. Molina stared at Alexios now. Is she angry at him for doubting her husband's word? Molina seemed not to notice. He drained his wine glass and put it down on the tablecloth so carefully that Yamagata thought he must be getting drunk. One of the waiters swiftly refilled it with claret. "More than a hunch?" Molina responded at last. "Yes, of course. A man doesn't leave his loving wife and traipse out to a hellhole like this on a lark. It was more than a hunch, I assure you." "What decided you?" Alexios smiled.